Little Steven's Underground Garage is next after a world news update on VOA Music Mix.
EU ministers approve arming Iraqi Kurds, and U.S. says no confirmation on reports Russian military has entered Ukraine. I'm Bill Michaels, reporting from Washington. European Union governments agreed to support individual country decisions to arm Kurdish fighters taking on Islamist State militants in Iraq. They also offered strong backing for the new Iraqi government. Lisa Bryant has more from Paris.
Meeting in Brussels on Friday, the European Union foreign ministers endorsed decisions by individual EU members to send weapons to Iraqi Kurds who are fighting well-armed Islamic State fighters. Speaking after the talks, French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius expressed satisfaction with the results. For his part, British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond said London would consider favorably a request to supply arms to Kurdish forces. He also predicted the United Nations Security Council will adopt a resolution pushed by Britain that threatens sanctions against those who finance and otherwise support the Islamist insurgency. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
The White House says it cannot confirm reports that Ukrainian troops destroyed a Russian military convoy that has allegedly crossed into eastern Ukraine. A spokeswoman said late Friday, officials are working to gather information on the situation. She said the U.S. remains concerned about repeated Russian and Russian-supported incursions into Ukraine. The World Health Organization says the number of people who have died from Ebola in West Africa has risen to 1,145. The U.N. agency says on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, it received reports of 152 new suspected and confirmed cases of the virus. In a Friday statement, the WHO also said 76 more deaths had been reported during the same time period, the majority in Liberia. Earlier in the day, international aid organizations that have been helping Ebola victims said they were struggling to keep up with the epidemic. Doctors Without Borders President Joanne Liu, who has just returned from West Africa, said it felt like wartime as she visited the affected countries.
I really had the feeling that it is like a wartime in terms of fear, general fear all over where you are, nobody not understanding what's going on.
She also said the magnitude of the outbreak had created stress in healthcare centers. Police in the U.S. state of Missouri say the unarmed black teenager whose shooting death by a police officer sparked days of protest was a robbery suspect. The police chief of the town of Ferguson, Thomas Jackson, Friday released police reports including video surveillance footage that they said showed 18-year-old shooting victim Michael Brown involved in a confrontation with a convenience store clerk on August 9th. The report says Brown left with a box of cigars. He was later shot by the officer responding to an emergency medical call. At a news conference Friday, Chief Jackson said the officer initially stopped Brown because the teenager was blocking traffic as he walked down the street. The incident has triggered violence in the town and vigils by thousands of people across the United States. Thousands of opposition protesters gathered in Pakistan's capital late Friday as two large convoys arrived for demonstrations aimed at unseating Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif's government. The protest in Islamabad, led by opposition leader Imran Khan and Muslim cleric Tahir al-Qadri, constitute the biggest challenge yet to Mr. Sharif's year-old government. Khan and Qadri say the government is corrupt. Their two movements are not officially allied. Heavy fighting broke out of the Somali capital early Friday when government and African Union forces attacked a militia loyal to a former warlord. Witnesses and officials say at least 10 people were killed in the fighting in southwest Mogadishu. Terrified residents told VOA they heard gunfire and explosions during the fight, which was unusually heavy even for the rest of capital. The ex-warlord told VOA Somali service by phone the clashes began when government forces attacked his home. From Washington, I'm Bill Michaels, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
In Spanish, we say, la mejor variedad del mundo, VOA Music Mix.
Everybody says, the world's best variety, VOA Music Mix.
Come to the land of living dreams, where realists dream of the unreal. Beatniks at their bawdiest. The creative urge at its most primitive.
For those of you with heart conditions, or who are with young and impressionable children, we ask that you turn around in your seats.
Alive! It's alive! It's...
Little Steven's Underground Garage.
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 Now they will know why they are afraid of the dark. Now they will learn why they fear the night.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
I want counterculture. I want anti-establishment.
This is mass madness, you maniacs! You maniacs! You maniacs!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Sullivan said, public opinion is the voice of God. If that was true, CBS TV Studio 50 on Broadway and 52nd in New York City was St. Peter's Cathedral, and Ed was the Pope. His variety show ran from June 20, 1948 to June 6, 1971, every Sunday night at 8 p.m., and at least 50% of the potential American viewing audience routinely tuned in. He was born September 28, 1901, in an Irish and Jewish neighborhood in Harlem. Except for a few years in Hollywood and running away to join World War I, he'd spend most of his time living the life of a newspaper columnist, right in the heart of the city he loved. In 1930s Manhattan, that meant rubbing shoulders with stage and screen performers, radio personalities, star athletes, debutantes, musicians, old money socialites, press agents, promoters,
producers, gangsters, and anybody who was a wannabe of any of the above. He'd hang out at joints called The Colony, El Moroccan, Dave's Blue Room, The Hollywood, Johnny Kelly's, Lindy's, and most notably the Stork Club. Out until 5 a.m. or so, then sleep till 1, then he'd write his column and head down to the Daily News and read his mail while waiting to check the proofs. Then do it all again every single night. By the time William Paley and CBS offered him a TV show, he'd produced countless vaudeville shows and he felt he knew what the public wanted. His show would be the ultimate big tent, an all-inclusive three-ring circus for all ages, colors, and creeds. Nothing controversial, nothing dirty, obscene, or too sexy. He wanted his audience to feel safe with him. One big happy family. Ironically, he'd end up simultaneously both the keeper of the establishment and the biggest cultural innovator of his time. At a time when black people were invisible on TV, they were regulars on his stage. Jewish humor was limited to the Catskills until Ed made it America's humor. And ultimately, even though he, along with every other adult in America, was appalled at the thought of rock and roll, he would reluctantly embrace it and become one of the most effective fathers in rock and roll history. Elvis Presley's appearance on September 9, 1956, had an audience of 60 million, 82% of the audience at the time. The Beatles on February 9, 1964, had 73 million, 60% of the potential audience. At a time of three TV channels, he was a one-man cable network. You want wrestling? Boxing? He had it. Opera? Got it. Jugglers, Broadway, animal acts, comics, athletes, he had it all. And if he embraced you, you were a hit. His stone-faced, cadaverous appearance and forgetful stiff speech made him the unlikeliest successful host ever. It was either Fred Allen or Alan King that said, Ed will last as long as someone else has talent. So maybe it's appropriate. He left us in the 70s. Let's visit five memorable artists, all of whom had life-changing moments with our freak of the week, Ed Sullivan. The first two ignored Ed's advice and were banned for life. The third took the advice, reluctantly, and survived. The fourth he swore he'd never lower himself to have on the show. And the fifth he almost canceled when the manager betrayed his exclusivity clause and gave footage to his rival Jack Parr the month before their appearance. And we'll throw in one contemporary garage rock classic just to keep it interesting.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah. We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there.
when I was a little boy, at the age of 5, I had something in my pocket, keep a lot of folks alive. Now I'm a man, May 21. You know, baby, we can have a lot of fun. I'm a man, I spell M. And Maine. Oh, 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 oh. All you pretty women, stand in line. I can make love to you, baby, in an hour's time. I'm a man, spell M A N, man. Going back down the Kansas Doom, bring back the second cousin, Little John the Conqueror. My man, spell him A N, man. Never miss the way I make love to them. They can't resist. I'm a man, I spell M A N.
This is Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones. You're listening to Little Steven's Underground Garage.
I'm in no hurry, I can take my time, oh man. Your neighbors are just going to be thrilled when they see the two of you on the Ed Sullivan Show.
The Ed Sullivan Show.
Yes, we were saving that as a surprise.
Yes, a surprise.
Me on Ed Sullivan.
Oh, I'd die. What would I wear?
Oh, gee, Ed Sullivan. He's my favorite human.
Yeah, she had all that I wanted and more.
years before. She started buzzing in my ear, buzzing in my brain. That's all over what I'm feeling, oh, I'm in love. I got a star, but I don't think I'm complaining. I'm mighty pleased as we met, cause you give me one little peck on the back of my neck. And I break out in a cold, cold sweat. Well, if I'm 102, I won't let nobody sting me but you. I'll be buzzing at your hand every day. I'm never gonna leave once I arrive, cause I'm not. I got a star. I won't let nobody sting me but you. I'll be buzzing on your hand every day if I ever. I'm never gonna leave on side of the ride, cause I'm not. I got stuff. Yeah.
Thank you very, very much, and thank you, Ralph Paul. Now, I just think today, 30 days after September. So I ask all of you little chickadees to remember to permit our country in Canada to hear Cilla Black, Soupy Sales, and Alan Rossi starring on our program tonight with the Beatles. Now, before... Well, come on, do it.
You tell lies and I can see. You can't cry because you're laughing at me. I'm down. When you know I'm down,
how can you laugh?
When you know I'm down, man buys ring, woman throws it away. Same old thing happen every day. I'm down,
I'm really down.
I'm down,
down on the ground.
I'm down,
I'm really down.
How can you laugh when you know?
Sullivan was a man of a thousand Sundays. Lots of interesting moments there. We picked five. September 17th, 1967. The Doors performed. Ed told Jim Morrison, "Don't sing, girl, we couldn't get much higher." Morrison sang it and was banned for life. November 20th, 1955. Bo Diddley was one of the very first African Americans to appear on the show. Ed requested Bo do Tennessee Ernie Ford's 16 Tons, which Bo did at rehearsal, but then played Bo Diddley during the live show, and was banned for life. January 15th, 1967, Ed told Mick Jagger, Do not sing. Let's spend the night together. Mick complied, substituting time for night, rolling his eyes as he sang it. It turned out to be one of the many controversies. The Teflon-blessed Rolling Stones survived.
The Cherry Drops, brand new band with Out of Sight. The album is Everything is Groovy. Get it from thecherrydrops.com.
Elvis Presley, Ed said, will never be on this show. Of course, he also said he'd never stoop to gossip when he switched from being a sports columnist. But Sullivan always had incredible intuition, even when it was contrary to his own taste, which it certainly was with the Beatles. He'd seen the riots they were causing in England, so he booked them and went along even when their foolish manager requested they headline the show. Can you imagine? Headline over Myron Cohen, Frank Gorshin, Gordon and Sheila McRae? And would you believe these four pathetic English kids with the funny hair having the audacity to think they could headline over Mitzi Gaynor? But when Jack Parr showed a clip of them January 3rd, a full month before their appearance on Sullivan, he called his European talent coordinator to cancel them. Then he wisely changed his mind. They'd be on nine times, but only be taped live in Ed's actual studio twice.
Picking you up and making you feel good.
The world's best variety.
VOA Music Mix.
Zombies! Zombies piano player Rod Argent, guitarist Paul Atkinson, and drummer Hugh Grundy got together in 1961 at St. Albans School. They met bass player Paul Arnold, who brought in singer Colin Blundstone. And they were gigging right away, doing the typical 50s covers. Paul Arnold left and was replaced by Chris White, and they entered a local band contest, which they won, and Decca signed them. Producer Ken Jones insisted Rod Argent's She's Not There be their first single, over the more obvious cover of Summertime, which the rest of the company wanted, and it was a worldwide smash. Isn't life simple sometimes? Only the Beatles beat them to number one in America. And their third single, Tell Her No, was also a top 10 hit in the States. Then the hit slowed down. They fell out with producer Ken Jones, left Decca, went to CBS, and recorded an album that for once they weren't rushed through and were quite proud of it. And then, of course, promptly broke up. That would have been the end of their story, except for a gentleman named Al Cooper. Yes, that Al Cooper, at the time a staff producer at Columbia, who insisted on releasing an album by a group that had broken up. Unheard of at the time. They released two or three singles that went nowhere, but somehow Cooper got the company to release one last track called Time of the Season, and that would end up being their most enduring classic. We love the three hits, but the early stuff was cool too. Like this.
If you Women did his bidding. Soldiers were transformed into mindless puppets of the goddess of zombies. The goddess who punishes with fire and mummifies with the power of her evil third eye.
It's never gonna last now. Been looking for someone like you. Driving 90 miles an hour.
all across my back. Oh, I am a fun bud. It's just another one. You got me shaking. Here comes the sun. See you later, cause I can't stick around anymore. Never met no one like you.
Why did you drive like that, you fool? We might have been killed.
Worse than that, monsieur. We might have been caught.
Caught? By whom? Those men you spoke to?
They are not men, monsieur. They are dead bodies.
Dead?
Yes, monsieur. Zombies. The living dead. Corpses taken from their graves. Or made to work in sugar mills. Feels at night. Look! Here they come!
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about her, how many people cried. To say you're sorry, how would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she had tail, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there. No one told me about her. What could I do? Well, no one told me about her, though they all knew. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked. She had tan, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there.
Started that set with Rod Argent, Colin Blunstone, Paul Atkinson, Hugh Grundy, and Chris White. The Zombies, baby. Indication, a very cool early single, written by Rod Argent, produced by Kenny Jones. No, not the drummer in the Small Faces. Curtis Mayfield, Superfly. He wrote it, produced it. It was on his label. 1972. And the movie was cool, but the soundtrack was better than the movie.
90 miles an hour down a dead-end street. The Empty Hearts, baby. Yeah, brand new super group. Clem Burke, Elliot Easton, Wally Palmer, and Andy Bebuke. Four very cool cats forming what will be one of the great bands in Garage Land. And that's all there is. There is no sanctuary but the underground garage for the rebels of the wasteland. It used to be called rock and roll. The Empty Hearts, baby.
And back to the Zombies for She's Not There, their amazing first single, and all the way to number two in the U.S., written by Rod Argent, produced by Kenny Jones. And get your dancing shoes on. When we come back, we're going to 45th Street.
Our mission statement:
play the world's best variety.
VOA Music Mix.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage. Like Detroit needs one more reason to be considered the coolest rock and roll town like ever, it is where Hank Ballard came from. He was born John Kendricks in Detroit, changed his name, and was doing quite well in the music business, writing and performing some sexy hit records like Work With Me, Annie, things like that. And then he wrote a kind of casual B-side of a single called The Twist, somewhere in 1958, late 59. When The Twist was re-recorded and released by Chubby Checker in 1960, it became a massive worldwide hit, a phenomenon, really, and a soundtrack to the first newsreel of the modern era. The 60s had arrived. Now, the sexual revolution was medically the birth control pill, privately Playboy magazine, and publicly The Twist. Now, dancing had always represented some form of mating ritual, but it was either stiff and technical like the waltz, an athletic sublimation like the jitterbug, or overly formalized like the tango. The Twist was loose, creatively flexible, shaking body parts that had never been shook in public before. It was simultaneously all about the individual and all about sex. It would open the door to all the other go-go dance crazes of the early 60s, like the Froove, the Jerk, the Swim, the Monkey, Watusi, Hully Gully, Mashed Potatoes, all of which, blatantly up front, were all about sex. Now, to the untrained eye, the lack of contact could have superficially looked like less sex because, you know, everybody kept their distance when they danced the Twist. But it wasn't. It was the beginning of the separation of sex and romantic commitment. Pure pleasure and procreation, my needs and our needs. Free your body and your mind will follow, this new world suggested. And that's what happened. As the beats like Kerouac, Ginsberg, Ferlinghetti, Burroughs worked on expanding your mind, Bo Diddley, Hank Ballard, Gary U.S. Bonds, Joey D., Chubby Checker, and D.D. Sharp were working on the body. The surfing craze said get in shape. The bikini said get in shape. The Twist was the first aerobic workout. The result was a new unprecedented level of liberation affecting every age group almost simultaneously, which is rare with any cultural phenomenon. The androgynous British invasion that would follow, the rock culture in general, the psychedelic era's search for new information, the beginning of the loosening of conventions that would encourage a worldwide birth of consciousness, started with the early swinging 60s. The Twist represented a revolution of sexuality that encouraged America to catch up with the rest of the Western world. And that's just what Hank Ballard had in mind.
Peppermint twist,
up and
round and round,
up and down,
round
kick, 1, 2, 3, jump. Peppermint twists me. The less you do this, the peppermint twist. It's alright all night. It's alright. It's okay all day. It's okay. And you learn to do this, the peppermint twist. Yeah, yeah.
This is Ko from Ko and the Knockouts, and you're with Little Steven in his underground garage. Yay, I love you, Little Steven. Bye.
Sitting by the window, feeling sad and blue, all because I haven't heard from you. And then my mama said, look, look.